No matter how you got back in here this morning, based on what we heard and learned last night, it looks like you have all chosen the right road, the narrow road, to get back into this room this morning. And we're going to look at another area with the Lord today, the door of opportunity. And my prayer for you this morning is that whatever the Lord has for you will build on what was shared with you last night, and then prepare you for what remains to come for the rest of our time that we have together this weekend. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, your love, your grace, which we saw extended this morning. But truly, Lord, thank you for the majesty of this place, the beauty of your creation that surrounds this castle. Lord, may we remember just the idea of how this building was built and why and who it was for and what more you have for us, Lord. Lord, help our hearts to be prepared for where you want us to go, what you want us to see, what we've been afraid to look at. God, we want to follow you with all our hearts. And we just ask that you be with us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's an old story that has been told. A pastor came calling one day and knocked on the door. Nobody answered, so the pastor took out a calling card and wrote on the back, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. As it turns out, the person was still in the shower. So the next day, the pastor got a message in return saying, Genesis 3:10. I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. Doors are important, you guys. But what are they? What are doors? How are they used? Are they good? Are they bad? Do they help? Do they hinder? A door is a means of approach. It's admittance, access. It can be a gateway marking an entrance or an exit from one place to another. A door's essential and primary purpose is to provide security by controlling access to the doorway. So, doors are an entry and an exit point. They are a barrier. They are a separation between what is personal and what is community. A door can be open, giving access, or shut and locked, where access is denied. So we have physical use of doors, obviously. There are many different kinds of doors. They're used for all sorts of various purposes. They allow for shelter and protection from rains and storms. We had a pretty big storm last week, and there was water coming in places in our house that doesn't normally, windows that don't normally let rain in, and the front door had to be shut. That was quite a rain we had. But also can be an obstacle keeping you going from one place to another. Think about prison doors, a closed or a guarded gate, a checkpoint. We all were stopped when we came onto the property here or attempted to come on property. It wasn't a door per se, but it was a gateway. It was a type of a door stopping us. The door guarding our home can keep others out, but it also can be a door that is open, giving access to guests and welcoming them in. It's inviting. In the past, like in times past, we've kept doors open, welcoming the neighbor, the traveler. We haven't questioned our safety. We haven't questioned the inconvenience of it all. Maybe at most we had a closed screen door because we wanted to keep the pesky bugs out. They love to come inside. Many of our doors have windows giving them an appealing look, but it also allows us to look out of the door. Through a window, you can peer out into the unknown to try to catch a glimpse of what is going on. Some of our doors, even today, still have that little peephole. I looked it up to make sure that's what that thing was called. It's called a peephole. But we can peer through that peephole, and we make a judgment. Is it safe? Is it wanted? We use our own eyes to determine our perceived safety, enjoyment, or protection. Today, we tend to keep our doors closed. And not just closed, but closed, shut, tight, locked. We have sensor lights and cameras on the other side, so we don't even need to use the little peepholes anymore. You don't even have to be home. You can be like, looking on your phone. Nope, I don't know who you are. Now, not only do most of the rooms in our house have a door with a lock, but our whole lives are locked and closed off. We live by so many passwords and ID numbers and websites with accounts and all kinds of information that we're trying to protect. Even when we're expecting a delivery, right? You know the Amazon guy is coming. We wait with anticipation and welcome this stranger as they're coming up the door, but only so they will set something on the outside and go away, right? Well, let's consider the doors in this castle. There's a lot of them. I don't know if you've looked around, and maybe now you'll be looking around as you walk through the property and look at all the different kinds of doors. There's a big front door. There's bedroom doors. If you walk through here, you can see the different bedroom doors. Your room has a door. Bathrooms, French doors, closets, pantry, storage, cupboards, gates, attics and hidden doors, secret servant doors. We heard about it. I showed you the locked door. That's a servant door, right? There's even carriage house has the horse barn doors, guest doors. All kinds of doors here on the property. And each one has a different use, a different purpose. When they're building, it takes discernment to decide what kind of door is needed for a given room or a place or an area. You wouldn't put a gate door on the front door, front of your house. You shouldn't need a hidden attic door to get into your bedroom. That'd be complicated. Imagine how many times you run in and out of your home or run into your bedroom and just need something real quick if you had a hidden escape door that you had to go through every single time. But doors have changed over time, from very simple things to and plain into ornate and intricately designed items. They have been deemed necessary for security and distinction of personal, private, and sacred places. And since ancient times, doors have also been understood to be not only physical, but philosophical ideas as well. They were more than just a barrier. Doors were a symbol of the dividing line between the known, what is on the inside, and the unknown, what is on the outside. So the same is true in the Bible, ladies. Doors are not always just a physical item. And throughout the Bible, doors have various literal and spiritual purposes and meanings. There are physical doors. This was mentioned earlier. There was a door on the ark. It was a real door. God closed it. We hear of entryways. We hear of that about the tabernacle in 2 Chronicles 4. There is a real description for it. It is designed. There's decor. There's a size. But it also could be spiritual growth or a spiritual truth that is revealed. Like when Paul asks the church of Colossae to pray for God to open the door for the word, giving opportunity to share the gospel while in prison in Rome. These symbolic doors speak not only of earthly opportunities, but the prospect of eternal ones. These are the kingdom-minded opportunities. As they apply to salvation, faith, works of the Spirit, and the personal transformation taking place in our walk with Christ. So let's take a few look at a few of these doors. And we're going to start with key text this morning. Door number one. Door number one, everybody. And I'll be looking at John 10, if you have your Bible and want to turn there, the first 10 verses. This is the greatest door that has ever been. It is because of this door that we can count on every other door that God brings. There are two parables here in this section, and we're going to look at them separately. And not long before this, just before this passage, as you review the couple of chapters prior. Ooh, I just had a microphone. Jesus openly had acknowledged his deity, claiming, "Before Abraham was, I am." So from these two parables that he's about to say, he explains how we can count on him, this man, the good shepherd, the door of the sheep, and how he can be our all in all. In following him, we are promised safe passage to the green pastures and the still waters where we will thrive in our walk with Christ. So let me read this passage. We're going to go 1 through 6 here. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he his voice, Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Okay, let's look a little deeper at what is happening in those six verses. First of all, what is a sheepfold? So sheep are led all day long by their shepherd. He takes them to graze. He takes them to distill waters. He lets them rest. That's an important part of his job, is that he takes them where they can rest, okay? And at the end of the day, if the shepherd was in or near a village, he would take his flock to this type of penned-in area called a sheepfold, okay? This is a smaller one. There would be a doorkeeper to close and guard the gate where the animals would be safe through the night, all right? Multiple flocks could be brought into the sheepfold, and come morning, the shepherd of each flock can call out to them, and the sheep will separate themselves to follow their individual shepherd back out to pasture. Amazing. But also, this doorkeeper allows for the shepherd to step away, physically, for the shepherd to just step away because his sheep are being guarded. He's passed off that guarding for that time. They're protected and they're safe in this area. So why does it have a door? The door is the means by which the shepherds would come to get their sheep. That seems kind of like a silly thing to say, but it was necessary to know that because a thief would come over the wall of the fence to kill the sheep and steal them away, okay? The sheep would not follow the thief. We understand that Jesus is the shepherd who is coming to collect his sheep. I know you guys know that truth. You see that symbolically in what is going on there. He comes to the door and is allowed in by the doorkeeper. He calls each one by name, us, you and me, to lead them to safety, to provide them with their daily needs and to care for them. And the sheep know his voice. We know his voice, ladies. The door is the door of acceptance and ownership through salvation. It is the door of knowing and being known by a Savior. Inside this door, we are protected and safe. We've been guarded all along, and we will be brought through safely from this life to eternal life. Amen. Amen. As Jesus spoke this parable, verse 6 tells us that the people did not understand what he was saying, right? Many did not accept him as their ultimate protector and provider. And the truth in and of itself was very difficult for them to understand. It hadn't happened yet. He's telling something that is yet to be. He was that door, the shepherd. He was that already, but they didn't understand that yet. Even those who did believe that he was the Son of God. So the second parable follows right after. And Jesus shares an even deeper truth about who he was and is and will forever be, and the kind of care he offers to the people of his flock. So let's read verses 7 through 10. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Well, first, spiritually, Jesus is speaking of salvation. He is the only way. He is the door of the sheep. He spoke of himself, who is the one and only door in which his sheep, his followers, would find their way to eternal life in Christ. The word that's used there in the Greek means a door through which the sheep go out and in, but it also means the name of him who brings salvation to those who follow his guidance. That's what the word is saying. It's not just the entrance in real earthly life. But there is really so much more being said to this group of people who understood the guarding of sheep, okay? Practically, he did speak a truth that they could understand. I spoke of that first sheepfold, and I showed you that picture. But there is another sheepfold. When the weather was decent, when the weather was decent, shepherds might stay out in the country or out away from a village or away from a town. If they were traveling distances and there wasn't a village in the area, they might just stay out in the fields. They didn't always find that place to go and tuck them in that inner sheepfold with a person there. When nightfall approached, the shepherd would lead his flock into a small pen, typically a circle. It was usually made of rocks piled up to make walls. There was a small opening for him to drive the sheep into safety. Since there was no, this blows me away, you guys. I hope this just knocks your socks off. I don't have any socks on. You probably don't have socks on. It's because you had them in your hair. That's true. Ladies, since there was no actual door, the shepherd became the door. The shepherd is the door for the sheep. I'm going to read the verse again, and I want you to think about that. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." He's saying that anyone claiming there is any other way to salvation is not telling the truth. He's the only way. And he repeats himself, "I am the door. There isn't another door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." So remember how those false shepherds would come over the wall and take what was not theirs. These truths about Jesus are the foundation this morning. And all the other doors we're going to talk about hang upon them. So door number two. The second door we're going to look at today is seen in Acts 14, verse 27, where Paul says God opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. This takes place during Paul's first missionary journey, which you can read about, Acts 13, 14. Paul and Barnabas were sent out by God on this journey. I want you to think about this for a moment. Do you think Paul thought about this being a door opened by the Lord? Maybe he was just responding to circumstances. Maybe it was a combination of both. Through this time, Paul had the opportunity to share the testimony of the Jewish people in the synagogue. All kinds of people were listening, including the Gentiles. And many accepted Christ and wanted more. Paul continued to speak openly the truth of Jesus to the Gentiles and many other people, the whole town, actually, it says. And the Jewish people, the leaders, watched and heard the Gentiles celebrating. It says they were angry, filled with envy, contradicting Paul and blaspheming because of the truths that he was sharing. And Paul walked right through that door of faith. It was not what he expected, but he continued to share the gospel with the Gentile people, and many people were saved and followed him. So how about you? Where are you in your life? Do you see your life as something you've been sent out by God in? Can you see your life journey? God can and is using you for his kingdom and his purpose. Do you have a desire to share the gospel with certain people? Maybe it's your family. To them, it was like their family. It was their people, their Jewish family. But it seems maybe for you, if you're trying to share, your words are falling on deaf ears. Maybe it's even making others angry with you. Because like in the days of Paul, they want to reject the truth of the gospel and the reality that Christ has come for them, for all people, even those who oppose God, as we all once did. They see your faith as a direct offense to their life and their lifestyle. it can be discouraging to face confrontation. And some doors, when they seem closed, it's difficult. You just want others to know. But perhaps like Paul, it is through these doors that we must go to get to a people that we maybe would not have come to otherwise. Maybe it's not going to look the way we think it's supposed to look, the way we have planned and prepared for it to go. But these hearts, these other hearts are open. They're ready to receive the truth and are just waiting for someone to speak the words of life in the gospel and for them to receive salvation. Paul modeled how to walk through these doors that were open to him. Even when it confused some or angered others, we see how God, the Father, protected him and led him wherever God needed Paul to go. The calling of our faith as Gentiles, or as Jews who are called into salvation with Christ, all of it has come to fruition because of men like Paul, of course, because of Jesus and others that we see through the scriptures who were led to share with their people, their family, and they were refused. And this was a door that God used to make it clear that the gospel would go out to all peoples. This door led the way for you and me to hear the gospel message and to walk through the door of Jesus Christ. The door of faith Paul walked through had wonderful, eternal significance for us. All right, let's look at our next door. This is the door of the immoral woman. Proverbs 5 and 9 is where I'm bringing in some scriptures, although you can see a lot of this from 1 through 9. When it talks about wisdom and folly, you're going to see about those things through the beginning of the book of Proverbs. But in 5 and 9, it's speaking about the door of the immoral woman and the immoral adulterous woman and she who is filled with folly. These are doors that we just must choose to stay very clear from. The passages speak of being tempted by her, but how we can see how this could apply to also being tempted by anyone. It isn't just about an adulterous woman going after a man. We need to see the truths that are being taught here. It's speaking of anyone who could be behaving in this way, whether it's a man or a woman. The warnings of Proverbs can also be for us to watch out for these behaviors in ourselves, because any one of us can fall into sin. Through the wisdom shared by Solomon, we are clearly and openly warned what to do and not to do in the area of avoiding folly and immorality. And again, see in some reading time, anywhere, Proverbs, all of Proverbs. I love the book of Proverbs. I love the book of fill in the blank of whatever we're reading next, you know. But 1 through 9 will really highlight these areas. But Proverbs 9:6 says, forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. God is saying through Solomon here, leave it, leave, have nothing to do with it, and continually seek after the ways of the Lord. Proverbs 9:13 through 16, the first half of 16 says, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing, for she sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city to call out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Now, these could be actual doors leading us down a path of temptation and sin. It could be an office door, a neighbor's door, or any seemingly closed and hidden door. It could be spiritual doors, which can lead us to the same. Quiet doors in the mind, envy, jealousy, anger, vengeance, bitterness that take us down the path of foolishness. The doors of the immoral woman or man can include the literal temptation of immoral relationships and adultery, but also it is the tantalizing allure of any sin. Just this once, we tell ourselves. No one will know, at least no one outside of my house sees this. I think some of those things that are the hardest, can be the hardest to battle, can be the things that are, the sins that are just in our mind. Author and speaker Jerry Bridges has a book called Respectable Sins. My husband's reading this right now, and he's like, want to hear the chapter titles? I'm like, I don't know. I'll read you a few of them. Ungodliness, anxiety and frustration, discontentment, unthankfulness, pride, selfishness, lack of self-control, impatience, irritability. It goes on. There's several more. Put that on the pile. I'll read it. Some of these sins just sit in our thoughts, but often they spill out of our mouths in the form of gossip, harsh words, lies to cover it all up, or comparison that we speak in hopes of making ourselves feel better. In our wrestle between the flesh and the spirit, our enemy, the devil, sees us, and he attempts to trip us up with temptation. Ladies, he's trying. I want you to know that. I'm going to go back to that Proverbs verse for just a second. When we're not focused on the Lord, we can appear foolish. It says the foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple. She knows nothing. It only takes a little time to get off track of looking at the Lord, and it's just a distraction. But this foolish woman, she sits at the house of her door on the seat at the highest places of the city where it's obvious she's looking for somebody to trip up. The enemy is looking for us to be tripped up, to call to those who pass by, who are going straight in their way, who are desiring to follow Christ, and claiming, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. I got you. It's enticing, it's captivating, and it's secretive. And we're told to run from these things. Our aim, the aim of the enemy is to pull our focus away from the Lord so that we do trip and fall. Solomon warns us again in Proverbs 5:8. Really clear. I need the Proverbs. They're so clear. Do this, don't do that. Okay, I got it. Remove your way far from her, speaking of the immoral woman. And do not go near the door of her house. Just don't go there. Don't even risk the temptation. It's so clear. Paul later writes a similar message to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22, saying, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with all those who call out on the Lord out of a pure heart. We can walk righteously, and there is instruction for us to know how to do that. And there's accountability in fellowship. Stay connected to people. Stay connected to people. All right, we're moving on. We're getting out of that one. We don't like that one. We're going to look at the door of opportunity. Again, Paul, there's so many wonderful examples of Paul, and I think this is great in the New Testament writings because he's doing what happened after Christ, which is what we are also doing. It's speaking of work that is done by the Holy Spirit. We got to remember, ladies, none of this stuff is by our own means. None of this work is us. None of the outcome is us. None of the way is us. It is all God. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 16:5 through 9. And it says, now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia, and it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. Now remember, Paul is writing to the Corinthians. For I love this line for some reason. He's so blunt at times. For I do not wish to see you now on the way. Like, I don't want to see you right now. I just find that funny. But when he comes, he gets back to it and says, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits, reminding us that. And verse 8 says, but I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. There's work happening here. I long to see you. I'm going to go by. I can't see you now, but I hope to come soon. But God has something happening here for me. It's going to detain me for a while. Maybe that wasn't the plan, but that's the door that's open. And Paul walked through it. 2 Corinthians 2:12 to 13 is another spiritual door that Paul speaks of. Verse 12 says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. So sometimes we know God is leading us somewhere. It can be a clear path. Paul was led to go to Troas, certain purpose of business to be there. He's checking on churches. But there are sometimes reasons that cause us to move on. In Paul's case, it was because he did not find his friend Titus. who was supposed to be bringing Paul an update about the Corinthian church, and therefore Paul moved on. He's moving on. God still uses these times in our lives, ladies, when we aim to do one thing, but something or someone causes us to go in a direction that we had not planned. That is still an open door. It can be. How many times do we not walk through the door? It didn't go my way. I was supposed to go this way, and the door closed. It didn't work out. Where's Titus? I'm going home. Don't anybody go home. Stay here. We definitely can look at these kinds of things as doors of opportunity with the Lord. We had a good plan. We probably prayed. He probably directed our steps there. But that wasn't the end result. It was actually over here. And he watched our obedience. He wants us to follow. He wants us to consider him. He wants us to trust him. Maybe not now, but later. Right? Maybe not now, but later. And it could literally be places we're called to go physically. Like Paul, he went on journeys. But also it could be in a spiritual sense. It could be in our use of our spiritual disciplines, our giftings, or the character, the you, that God has made you to be. He made you special. He does not want you to be the woman on your right, the woman on your left, or me, or anybody else. He made you, you. So what gets in our way? We get in our way. I think it's we do it ourselves. Sometimes we're just spending more time watching what other people are doing. It could be on social media, but it could be in the foyer at church. You know? Scrolling is hard. It's so addictive. It just pulls us in. It makes us want more. Then we're trying to be someone we're not. Ladies, you can't walk that out fully. You can't walk out being somebody else. God made you who you were supposed to be. And ladies, you are encouragers, and you are exhorters, and you are nurturers, and you are lovers of the Lord. You are mothers and wives and women and daughters and sisters. You have the gift of helps, the gift of giving. You have joy, and you are each walking out your own sanctification and your own call to holy living. I brought tissues. We can spend so much time wondering and worrying about what others think or say about us that we're neglecting the effective open door that the Lord has for us to just walk right through. But I want you to know, Paul faced these same challenges. We are not alone. From the very beginning of the Christian faith and the ministry, there have been people to compare to, complainers, and those who criticize. Paul faced all of this. Jesus faced all of this. We see it clearly. We are not alone in that, and we need not fear those things. A little caution I want to give you is to just be careful that our doors don't just remain locked all the time. These locks on the doors aren't set only for safety and privacy, but we set locks out of fear and uncertainty. Even out of frustration at times, or inward self-thinking and acting, I just don't want to talk to this person. I just don't feel like it. I just want to be grumpy. I just feel like complaining. When we lock ourselves up tight, it can be difficult or even impossible to walk through any of the doors in Christ, where he is leading us to the pastures of his faithfulness and his shepherding. We're missing out on that which only Christ can lead us to. These can be the pastures of the fruit of the Spirit. They're the pastures of purpose and calling. It's where we get to experience what we never would expect, because outside It is outside of our own looking and our own understanding. And God is with us. He's with us, and we can learn to trust him more and more. Ladies, I want you to hear that again. You can learn to trust him more and more. And there are women in here that can attest to that and encourage you in those things if that's an area of struggle for you, in trusting his faithfulness, his promises, his truth, who he's made you to be. We want to encourage you in the Lord in those things. There are doors that now I am unafraid of opening, that I used to be really scared of facing. And so that's just a mini testimony. I don't need to list them all out. There are all kinds of doors that maybe if you've never faced it before, it was super scary. But once you've gone through it, you realized God was with you. That builds the faith. That builds the trust. And then the next time you face it, it's not so scary. Not so scary. And then all of a sudden you realize you're unafraid of it at all. It could be relationships. It could be a sin issue. It could be dealing with people, confrontation. It's hard. It could be health. It could just be the unknown. With a closed door, it is likely that our view is obstructed. Even when you can see out of the glass pane, you cannot fully understand all that the Lord has for you. I'm going to give you an example. My front door doesn't have a window, but we have a storm door, and it's just a glass door. So if I look out the glass from the storm door at the front of my house, maybe I can look out and I can see, I said an unfriendly neighbor. I don't have an unfriendly neighbor across the street, so I just am giving an example. But maybe I see an unfriendly neighbor across the way. I see cars speeding by that should be slowing down because there's kids in the neighborhood. But from that one vantage point, I cannot see that a friend of mine just pulled up down this street a little bit and is coming over to say hi. I can't see the birds in the nest in the tree over on the side of my house getting ready to take flight. And I can't see that there's a rainbow up in the sky from the rain that just fell a few moments before. I'm behind the door. I'm just looking through the glass. I can only see this little bit, and I'm afraid to look at it. And God has so much more for you. When I keep the doors closed, I will not experience all God has for me, as well as you. And Psalm 16:11 says, "You, God, will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Our good God says, back from John 10, verse 9, that, and he not only says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved," but continues by saying that we will go in and out and find pasture, right? Remember the sheepfold. It wasn't just to keep them in there forever, locked up so that they would never go back out. They would die. They would die staying in there. There was no water. There was no fresh green grass. The still waters they needed, there was not really a place to rest. They're kind of close in there probably. We will go in and out and find pasture. So ladies, we must know. We must really know that this door, the door of Christ, is available and welcoming. It's pleasing. It's like French doors. They're so pleasing to the eye, aren't they? They're curious. What's in there? I can see stuff. They're inviting. There's something about French doors that's just, I don't know, they're just a little extra. They're just special. I like them. And we can all come in and out. I don't know if that's the right one. I think I skipped one, but that's fine. We're back on. So we can all come in and out and find the sheepfold. We will go out into the world. We're going to go out and get messy. We're going to fall into pits. But we get to come back to our refuge and our safe place in the sheepfold. We get to be with Christ as our guard always. In Christ, we enter into salvation. There is no lock on the door to Christ. He will knock, but it is up to you to personally open the door and invite him in. And then we can and should continually come in and go out to the pasture. I'm going to leave with this thought for us this morning. I don't know what I did with that door. Oh, that is the door. It was just what I wanted it to be, and I didn't. This makes a good point, actually. I think sometimes we just get so busy with life that we just don't hear the good shepherd calling. You know, we're just, the noise is loud, life is loud, our own voices are loud, everything's loud. Sometimes we're just going too fast. We say yes too much, it's too quick, it's too busy. We don't notice. Maybe his voice, like if we're too far away, maybe his voice has just grown, it's distant. It's calling, but it's distant. And maybe it feels like he's too far away from you. You're not sure he's talking to you anymore. This one, you've walked past this a number of times. How many of you noticed that there was a door in the wall right there down the hall when you walked by it? Raise your hand if you saw it as a door. There is a door on that wall picture. It's just on the other side of our entryway here. And we walked past it and we didn't even see it. It was hidden from sight. Now you're all going to go look, so now you're going to be watching. You should see it. It's pretty cool. One of the fun features here at the castle. But with these doors in Christ, one, it just reminds us we're kept with him, we're hidden with him, but he's there. It's present. It's always been there. The door has always been there. God has always been there. And you have the opportunity to go in and out with him to find the pasture. I also want to remind you, sometimes we just keep looking back at what was, looking backwards down a hall instead of looking forward. And we know from Philippians 3, 7 through 11, not reading the whole thing, but we're supposed to count those things as loss. The good, the bad, all of it. We're counting it as loss and we're pressing on, going forward with Christ and what he has for you. The next door, the next door, the next door. He wants you to keep walking forward down the hall. There's a fun story I'll share with you about some friends of ours. They were missionaries and they actually live in Cyprus. And they had been missionaries in the mission field in another country and they were back in the States for a couple of years just kind of recalibrating life. And that's where I got to know them before they launched back out. Now, one of their daughters she was trained in Russian ballet from a very, very little age. And she was still young when I met her and got involved with things in the area where we lived and danced and all of those things. And this is an encouragement, ladies, in just trusting the Lord with however he's directing you. Even if it doesn't seem to make sense, even if others might tell you, why are you doing that? God's not going to do something in that. That doesn't make any sense. Okay? You are responsible before the Lord. All right? And so as they prepared to move their family to Cyprus, that was one of the things that they were faced with, a lot of people saying to them, why are you going to go to this little island in the middle of nowhere, seemingly, with this daughter who has this ability to do this glorious thing and has been so well trained? There's nothing there. But they were called. And they trusted the Lord, and they went. And over time, she did get involved. I mean, it's not like there's not kids doing ballet everywhere. So she got involved with ballet there and excelled the way you would think she would. There's different groups sometimes that would come, and they would do specific shows or do different, like, classes or teachings. And there was this new guy that was pretty renowned that moved to the area. And he was going to be starting a ballet school there in the area. Very exciting. Like, this was kind of a big deal, right? And so, you know, they're a missionary family, and they're just like, well, Lord, I don't know. So she went and she did the audition that she needed to do, and after her audition, they were talking, and he says, okay, what was your name? And she said her name, and he's like, oh, I knew someone with that name. I danced with someone with this name when I was in Europe and toured, and we did all these things, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And she says, that was my grandfather. Mm-hmm. And they walked through a door with the Lord because he called them to something. And now, I mean, of course, now she just tours and travels, and God has just done unexpected things with her life. It's pretty incredible. But you wouldn't have seen that or known that when they left. Don't be afraid of what the Lord is calling you to. It may not make sense to the rest of the world. It may not make sense to you. I mean, realistically, there's a lot of things we're like, I don't know why we're going through this, Lord, but it'll make sense in time. It will all come together in the end, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Ladies, we just truly do not need to be afraid of any door that is given to us by the Lord. Even if it is to send you to a place that you haven't been before, Christ has. He's with you through it all. He will be with you for doors that seemingly do not open. He will be with you with doors that you're trying to open and they shouldn't. He will be with you for all the ones that do, and he will walk through with you as you go wherever he will send you. Ladies, he says to you, I am the door. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word and the beautiful pictures you give us to understand who you are, your nature and your character, your power, your might, your majesty, that you are an infinite God who created all things, and you sent your Son as a man to be here and to tell us things that we could understand as mere humans in flesh, to bring things down to our level, our living, our understanding, because of your great love for us, your great care for us. Lord, help us to walk forward into those doors that we are just afraid to walk towards. Lord, help some of us to slow down so that we see the doors we're passing by. Lord, help us to just take time to see you in every detail of it all. God, we love you. We give you praise and thanks in all things. Let us continue to worship you this weekend. In Jesus' name. Amen.